in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about today's show because we are getting to share with you one of our recent creators' picks. The show is really lighting up Broadway right now. It's so wonderful. It is a weeper. I will warn you of that, but it's totally worth it. We, of course, are talking about The Notebook, which is currently playing at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting telecharge.com. And joining us to talk to us about the show, we are joined by two amazing performers, Dorcas Long and Carson Stewart. And they do such amazing work in the show. It is incredible to watch them and the number of characters they play. So, you know what? Why don't we just jump right in? Let's go ahead and welcome on our guests, Dorcas, Carson. Welcome. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
I am thrilled that you are here. I am thrilled that we get to chat. This show, let me just fangirl for a minute. It was so good. It is not overhyped. In fact, I think it is underhyped. It's so brilliant. One of the things that I chuckled the most at was I went downstairs before the show to buy a pin because we have a huge pin collection, you know. And one of the items that were at the, you know, the souvenir stand was a box of tissues. And I thought, wow, okay, calm down. I know that what the story is about, but I should have picked up the tissues because it looked like I was out in the rain that day. By the end of the show, I was full-fledged just sobbing. Even during the curtain call, I was like clapping and wipe. It's such a good show. And let me start with you, Dorcas. Let me have you tell anybody who, for whatever reason, doesn't know what this show is about. Can you tell us what The Notebook is about?
Sure. The Notebook, the musical, is based off of the best-selling novel by Nicholas Sparks, which has been turned into a very popular movie. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams starred as Noah and Allie. It is about a love story through the ages. Our version focuses on three different versions of Noah and Allie, young, middle, and old. And it's told from the perspective of the older Noah and Allie. The show is a love story, I think, in its easiest form, but there's like so many ways you can talk about love, and we'll get into that too. But like, it's about love, it's about perseverance, it's about just like, what does it mean to have a life well lived, mostly, I think. But yeah, Noah and Allie are our central characters in The Notebook.
Oh, so well put. I would definitely say it's a love story. And it's the one I think that we all truly strive for. So that's so beautiful. Now, Carson, I'm curious to know, how did you come upon this show?
Absolutely. So I went to school in Chicago, which is where The Notebook originally started its out-of-town run. I was a senior in college, and my professor sent me this email from Chicago Shakes. It was an original casting email saying they're doing The Notebook. We think it's for an understudy role for three roles. Think this looks like you. So go in, look at it. And then I looked at the team and I was just gobsmacked. It was all my heroes in one room. I've been a lifelong Ingrid Michaelson fan. Michael Greif has directed everything I wanted to be in ever. So I think it was just beautiful. I was so nervous. And then I'd seen The Notebook, obviously, but I was just very excited about the project. And both Dorcas and I did the out-of-town tryout in Chicago. So that's where we met.
Amazing. Now, Dorcas, I want to come back to you, and I want to know, since you know you've been involved since the out-of-town tryout, what has it been like developing the show, especially this current iteration playing on Broadway?
Yeah. You know, it's so weird. So I've told the story a lot, but this was the last audition I had before March 13th, 2020. It was the Friday that Broadway shut down. And at that point, The Notebook was going into one of its first workshops. They had developed it at Sound and Stage, the Vassar project there. And then, you know, through the years, Ingrid has been working on this with Becca for a really long time. So March 13th, 2020, I remember I got a call back for my role. And they were like, will you go to Telsey, which is like the casting office that was dealing with the show at the time, and go ahead and go in. We're going to have you do this callback. And I went into the room and everyone was a Zoom screen. And I was like, what's going on? And like, at this point, we had kind of heard rumblings of like, oh, you know, there might be a sickness that's happening, but that's on the other side of the world. That's not something to really worry about. And I just remember like doing my callback being like, I think that was good, but there's like a weird chill in the air. And then leaving the building, which was Telsey at that time was like in the Hard Rock Cafe building. And so like seeing the lights of Hard Rock Cafe, going down the escalator and then getting a call from my agent being like, you should go home. Like, yeah, I don't know if you've seen the news or anything, but like the pandemic is about to begin basically. And so having that be my first experience with The Notebook and then being here 4 years later, opening it on Broadway has been unbelievable to see like the kind of changes we've made. And also like, I think Andrew, you've touched on this too. I think this is something we need right now because I think people want to feel, and like The Notebook is giving people the opportunity and like the catharsis of group feeling. So yeah, I feel like so grateful to have gone from that, from like auditioning for this group of people to like putting it on stage and everything in between, the workshops, the Chicago tryout, the like, you know, the countless Zoom workshops that we did when we were all at home. It's been, yeah, quite the journey. So yeah, that's kind of part of my story with it.
Love it. Carson, anything you'd like to add regarding the development of the show?
Yeah, I think one of the most beautiful things for me was that I started as an understudy in Chicago. I covered Young Noah and the track I do now, Johnny and Finn, and then Lawn. So now on Broadway, I get to play one of those roles every night, which is really exciting. I think that it's just been beautiful to work on a new musical. This is my first show out of school. So seeing in the room, Michael turned to Ingrid and say, I think that moment should be a song. And then she comes back 30 minutes later with a song, or we're having table work and Becca's listening in on a conversation between me and Andrea, and then she writes a new scene the next day that completely informs the second act. I think that's just the beauty of theater and of developing something with such a close community of artists. So it's like tailored for not only the actor, but what everyone wants to come across. It just changed day to day. So I think that's was really beautiful. It was always in process.
Love it. Let me snowball off of that and ask, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from the piece? Carson, let me start first with you on that, if I could.
Yeah, I think something that I hope to bring, my character is the physical therapist in the nursing home. And he, like we said, never gives up. So I think just small acts of kindness, whether he reads to Allie and she remembers for a brief second or has some type of recognition, I think just doing small acts of kindness every day, I think, and just cherishing what you have when you have it, I think that's the whole thing of the whole message of the second act for me is just sometimes I am so worried about what's next that I don't take time to cherish the present and small interactions between me and my friends or me and my family. So I think those are the two big takeaways, at least for me.
Love that. Yes. Jorgis, how about you? What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away?
Yeah, I think like the word hope always comes to mind when we talk about the show, how it's like ultimately a hopeful ending. And it's about, you know, these people never giving up hope for a better outcome. And then I think also as we talk about like, what has been really impactful for me is seeing audiences receive the show together. And so like having a space for people to react to theater and like not be ashamed of their emotions towards and like outwardly react, whether that be crying, laughing, any of the above, because like, you know, some people may not cry because it's not the way that they want to express their emotions. But just being able to do the show and creating a space for people to express that has been so special, you know, because like, I don't know, I love TV film mediums too, but like theater is so particular and unique in that we're all sharing a space as cast, crew, company with the audience. And so like wanting the audience to also buy into the experience with us has been so, so cool.
Yes. It's a communal experience that you
watching
TV and film on your own kind of thing. You, that audience really is that extra cast member, and it's incredible. I don't know. You can feel an energy in the space, you know, and it's like nothing else in the world. So I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to The Notebook, the musical? And Dorcas, can I start first with you on that?
Yeah. For me, I mean, like the creed of who I am as a person and as an actor is like I am a woman of color. I'm an Asian woman. And so like, I'm hopeful that people that don't get to see themselves represented all the time get access to the show. Our show is incredibly color conscious and color diverse. We have all sorts of different people on our stage, whether that be age, race, gender, sexual diversity, everything. So I'm just hoping that people who get to see the show are the people that are want, like, need to see themselves on stage. So like, I don't know. For example, I love that our show centers around the older folks and in places where they have sexual desire, they have agency, they have things that they're fighting for versus I feel like an older depiction of people is usually like people that are, you know, Grandpa Joe, he's falling asleep in the bed. He has no idea what to do. And so like having Noah and Allie be these people that have like full lives and making jokes and messing up even at their age, like I hope that older people also get to see this and are like, you know, ah, that's me, you know? And then also for myself, I hope that like young Asian people get to see me and be like, I want to do that. I can do that. So that's how I hope has access to the show.
That is so, what a great answer. What a great answer. Carson, who do you hope have access?
Absolutely. A tough answer to follow. Dorcas was just amazing. I think as similarly, I think watching older people watch the show is just a beautiful experience. I think that Marianne and Dorian are playing it so beautifully. Like it's not a caricature of an old person. They're still move so elegantly and quickly. And you just get to see, I don't know, them live a full vivid life, which I think as we sometimes see caricatures of that. So I think my character dies in the Vietnam War, but there's a lot of talk of veterans, especially like the physical therapist tries to relate a lot on Noah's experience in the war to no avail, really, actually, to quite humorously. But it's always fun to hear a veteran laugh. You can tell when a veteran laughs at a joke in the audience. I think that's something that's really cool as well. So, you know, I hear like the 3 or 4 chuckles on some of the jokes, but then also young people. I think we have a really good rush and lottery. So I think people who wouldn't normally be able to or have the financial resources to go see the show, I hope that they are able to come too, and that just because the theater is so expensive. So I hope that we get some young people, and just because it is a young story as well.
The second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull back the curtain, if you will. And I'd love to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites? And Carson, could I start first with you on that?
Absolutely. I think the people I mainly draw inspiration are, I'm a huge family-oriented person. I'm one of 5 kids. I have 2 amazing parents. So mostly my mother, I feel like, is definitely my inspiration for everything. She also has very specific artistic tastes, although not being an artist. So I think she's definitely the toughest critic of all time. She loves this show. So I think obviously the biggest inspiration for me, I think, which is very cool, was Rent. I think that's what got me into theater, is that some musical theater, especially when I started out, didn't sound like music that I would normally listen to, but I loved how Rent told a story through music and music that I was interested in listening to. I was also directed by Michael Greif, who is a huge inspiration of mine and the director of the show. I don't know. And then I really loved this surge of singer-songwriter musicals recently. I think that it's opened Broadway to a new audience, and especially for a younger audience. So definitely Waitress and Sarah Bareilles. I think that's been fantastic. I'm super excited for Florence Welch's Gatsby coming up. So many exciting projects, especially by female singer-songwriters. I think the singer-songwriter to Broadway composer pipeline is really, really hot right now. And that's something that I'm definitely interested in, because I think it's breaking the mold. And some people really don't like that, and some people do. But yeah, I think it opens Broadway up to a larger audience. So I'm super excited by that.
Yes, wonderful inspirations there. I love that. I love the singer-songwriter and a Broadway pipeline. Let's get excited about that because there have been
Let's get excited about
some
that.
to mention.
Yeah,
Yeah.
say that.
Dorcas, what about you? What are who inspires you?
Well, let me say one thing. Carson's mom makes really good cookies, so that inspires me. Like, I have to say really quickly, at work we have too much sugar. Like, there's always cookies at work, so there's that. That inspires me to work at work. Kind of similar to Carson, I Wicked, really. Like, Carson and I did this like pretty silly. We did this like red carpet interview on opening night, and they were like, if you were going to write a love letter to another show on Broadway, who would you write it to? And I got super impassioned about Wicked because, like, truly, that is the reason why I started doing all this. Like, in middle school, my friend Peter King, for his 13th birthday, got tickets to the first national tour, and he invited me, and we had these like nosebleed seats in the mezzanine. And I was like, this is it. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. So, Wicked. And then similarly, the last 5 years, Jason Robert Brown, that was like one of my first kind of like, oh, like you can tell a story in this way that has so many different elements and layers and like true acting within the musical and like being able to tell such a wide range of emotions in that. And it's just complex and good. And yeah, I was really obsessed with the last 5 years. I still kind of am. Recently, last night, I saw Andrew Scott's Vanya and it was unbelievable. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. It was a one-man production of Uncle Vanya, adapted modern verse. But, like, I'm just thinking so much about the actor's ability to be, like, vulnerable and be able to say these universal things, but also, like, keep them truncated to, like, one person. It was just so incredible. And, like, it was very human. And that's something that's been very inspiring to me as of last evening. So I wanted to share that as well.
Wonderful. Yes, I love that. I want to ask the two of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Dorcas, I want to start with you on that.
Yeah, community. I think that's the number one for me. Right now, in addition to opening this beautiful show altogether, we're playing a company-wide game of Traitors. Yes, like as in like Alan Cumming hosted Traitors. And that has been so fun. And like the best part actually is seeing how many people from different departments are doing it. Like we have wardrobe people doing it, we have sound department, we have crew, stage left and stage right. Like, and it's just been so great. And to be able to make these connections with people in the building and then outside of the building, because like, you know, it takes no time for someone to be like, wait, you've worked with so and so. I love them. And like, yeah, so community is my number one.
I love that answer. And I love the fact that you're all playing traitors as a comp. That is incredible. That is amazing. Carson, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Similarly, community is a great answer. Dorcas and I are playing the long game in Traitors right now, and that's just absolutely electric backstage. I feel like every time we have a lot of scenes together, so every time we run on, I feel like we have a secret together on stage. But I think mentorship is something that I've been thinking about recently, and just the fact that most of my scenes are with the most accomplished and the oldest actors on stage, and just being part of a legacy where I know, like, okay, Marianne replaced Brunette in Sunday in the Park with George and looked into the eyes of Mandy Patinkin, and now she's looking in my eyes. Or Dorian's last play on Broadway was with Morgan Freeman, and then now he's doing a scene with me. Just the wisdom that they have to impart to me is something that I've been super grateful for. And then you look at our creative team, and they've done, I don't know, an incredible amount of Broadway shows that have completely redefined the landscape. So just I am, as my first show on Broadway, my debut, I'm just soaking in all my mentors and all the wisdom that they have to give me. So I think kind of the legacy and history of theater and Broadway is also something that I'm really intrigued by.
That is such a fabulous answer. That is incredible. And yet the talent that is in the show is amazing. I would love to just sit there on the, you know, in the corner and just listen to all the stories and whatnot that people have. That's got to be amazing. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and I'm so excited to hear yours. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I have two. In the pandemic, there was no theater, but all my friends from school were all separated. It was our senior year, and we had a play reading group, and we read Gloria, if anyone knows that play, by Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. And the end of Act One is the biggest surprise of all time. We were all reading it on our screens, and it just reading that together and like acting it out and then getting there to a great surprise. I feel like that was the most joy I felt in theater in the pandemic, even though it's not a joyful moment, but it was just absolutely electric. And then I do have to say my favorite theater memory could have been like standing next to the people that I worked on Notebook with for two years and just making my Broadway debut and being like, I've worked really hard for this. I get to do it with a lot of people that I love, especially Dorcas. So
thanks, Pars.
Oh, you're welcome.
Those are such great memories. The chef's kiss. Those were fabulous. Yeah. I love those. Thank you for those.
Absolutely. I had to throw in a pandemic one. I feel like that was important given our conversation.
Right. Dorcas, how about you?
I'm just thinking about like, so the first musical I ever did was in middle school, and it was The Music Man. And I remember my solo line was, "And a double boiler." And I just remember my nerves right before that moment, and then feeling such success as I built it out and being like, I'm in a show. And so like, I don't know, that's just kind of one of the moments that I'm thinking about right now, being like, that kind of sparked it all. And then secondly, I think theatrically, moments that I've like watched and I've just been like, wow, and I can't stop thinking about. Seeing, there was this version of The Tempest they did at St. Anne's a couple years ago with Harriet Walter as like the lead as Prospero. And I just remember watching it. It's set in all women's jail. And so you're sitting there on the sidelines. The set looks like what a community basketball court would look like in that prison. And you're watching these inmates do a version of a Shakespeare show. And it's based off of an actual program that does happen in prisons. And I don't know, just watching that and being able to like, you know, connect that to things that I actually care about in real life. And then also watching these women have this immense power and control over Shakespeare's language has been so like inspirational to me. That's like, I think one of my favorite theatrical moments I've seen. Yeah, those are, I guess, the two that come to mind in this moment.
Oh, I'm throwing out Once too. I forgot about Once. Yeah. Once was absolutely influential for me. So adding that to the list.
Those are amazing. Thank you both so much for those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about The Notebook or about either of you. Maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Yeah, I'm easily found at Instagram at Dorca the Orca. You can find me there. And Carson has a similarly fun Instagram handle.
Yeah, I'm the gingerbread boy on Instagram. So if I answer my DMs, so I'm, you know, you can hit me up there. Also, notebookmusical.com, I believe, is where you can see our cast album is dropping in 2 weeks, which is going to be amazing. So for those who maybe aren't going to New York, you can definitely stream that. I believe April 19th, which will be available on the website and then all music streaming platforms. There's also an Instagram for The Notebook as well, where they do a great job posting articles and new footage and backstage moments. So those are all ways to check us out.
Well, Dorcas, Carson, thank you both so, so much for stopping by and sharing this amazing piece with us. Thank you so much for your insight. And honestly, just thank you so much for your time. This was such an honor. So thank you.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you
so much for having us. Yeah. This was so fun.
My guests today have been two of the amazing performers from the Creators Pick The Notebook, the musical. Dorcas Lung and Carson Stewart joined us to talk about their show, The Notebook, the musical, currently playing at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting telecharge.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But this is a show you do not want to miss. I am giving you a 100% guarantee you will love it. If you don't, you come see me. We'll figure this out. But the show is amazing. It is a weeper, but it's also so beautiful. And our guests are brilliant in the show. You will not want to miss them. Again, it's The Notebook, the musical, currently playing at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.